Welcome to the Bible Answer Man on this very special Thanksgiving Day. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting." All of us at CRI wish you and your loved ones a blessed Thanksgiving, focused on the Lord's goodness to us all. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
I want to welcome you to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Every Thanksgiving, we make an effort to highlight Thanksgiving. And I want to do that during today's broadcast. Do remember, anything I talk about on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, you can access at equip.org on the web, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And Monday through Friday at this time, resource consultant standing by, not today, but most of the year at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Today, I want to start the broadcast by giving my thanks first and foremost for a fruitful year of ministry. And that will continue on until we reach January 1st, and then we'll start doing it all over again. This year in particular, though, has been a year of enormous productivity. We have reached thousands, perhaps millions, through the many ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and the new outreaches that we have added in this calendar year. But let me get back to the theme of Thanksgiving. This past April, I was diagnosed with mantle cell lymphoma. And yet, this has no doubt been one of the best, one of the most productive years of my entire life. And I thank God for that. But when we struggle with maladies, of course, we live in a cursed world, and when we struggle with those maladies, we can thank God because He uses every single thing that comes our way for His glory. And that's not just Pollyannish thinking. That's precisely what the Bible says. All things, not some things, but all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purposes. I think that this has been a productive year because when you face difficult diseases, it really, in the end, teaches you how significant it is to order your life around the divine. Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4:15 are so impressive in this regard, where Paul says, "All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. My heart is overflowing with thanksgiving." Paul, well, he really focuses on this word in his epistles. He wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, as I'm sure most of you know. And in 2 Corinthians 9, Paul said that we will be enriched in every way so that we can be generous on every occasion, and that through our generosity, thanksgiving will come to God. Now, generosity is a way of thanking the Lord. When we have an overabundance of things, and we hoard those things that don't result in blessings to other people, and thus they do not result in thanksgiving to God, I oftentimes look in my closet, and I see shirts or pants or some shoes that I have not worn for a long time, and I think, I could save them on the one hand, or on the other hand, they can become manna to someone else. And so we have to be, during Thanksgiving, in a mode of thinking of giving. Thanksgiving, giving. This is a significant word, and I'm not just talking about giving again to the ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, as appreciative as I am for that, but I'm thinking about giving to others that you encounter. You're going to encounter people that I will not encounter. I'll encounter people that you will not encounter. But when we do and we see the need, perhaps we can think about being the hands and the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. David was specific with respect to thanks. Remember him saying in the Old Testament, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. Now, what does that mean? It means that when God does something wonderful in our life, we don't want to hoard that pleasure. We don't want to hoard that treasure. What we want to do instead is let other people know how grateful we are, and that those things that have come to us via the hand of God. And I think as well that oftentimes we insult God through anxiety. We're in a difficult situation and we become anxious. Well, that anxiety in some sense is a tip-off that we're not thankful to God. Because being thankful to God means we recognize that God has every single detail of our lives under control. And so there's no need to be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, by petition, with thanksgiving, to present our requests to our God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ. The Psalms are replete with thanksgiving. Our hearts should be replete with thanksgiving. Think about what Psalm 95 teaches us with respect to thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, for his wonderful deeds for humankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. So let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. I will tell you, our house will be filled with music and song this Thanksgiving. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. There are no other gods. There's only one God. And I thank God that he has created us in such a way that we can be brought into the fellowship of the Trinity and experience a dynamic, a very real relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so I enter his gates with thanksgiving. I enter his courts with praise. I give thanks to him and praise his name. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. His love endures forever. Thanksgiving, while we are celebrating that today, ought to be a reminder of something else. And that is, thanksgiving is an everyday occurrence. And let me just give you a glimpse into my own prayer life. It involves of always acknowledging to the Lord that I've placed my faith in him alone. His arm is strong, my arm is short. I always express my adoration, my worship of God. I always confess my sins, and I always give thanks for the many things that the Lord has done through our ministry, through my life, through relationships. I thank the Lord. And I have added that to my prayer life intentionally. And I typically give thanks before I ask the Lord for anything new. It's so easy to rush into His presence with a laundry list of prayer requests, forgetting what He has just done for us. And we're again knocking on the door, asking for something new, even though our Heavenly Father knows what we need before we even ask Him. We're sort of begging as though He's not paying any attention to us. Yes, He is paying attention to us, and He is willing to meet our every need. Not every greed, but our every need. So my point is, I want to make Thanksgiving not only a reality in my life, but hopefully, by encouragement, a reality in your life as well. Add it to your prayer life. Give thanks. Every single day, there's something new that I can thank the Lord for. I have so many things today. I'm going to be praying later on in the day as well for many things and in the family context. But as I do, we're first going to go around our table at Thanksgiving, and each person is going to say something that encourages the rest of us with respect to what God has done in their life. That's a tradition in our family, and it's one of my favorite Thanksgiving times. It is hearing how God has uniquely and sovereignly moved in the life of another person. And you know, we're oftentimes so absorbed in our own issues that when you hear that, you go, oh yeah, I think I remember that. Yeah, that happened to one of my kids. And now they're thanking the Lord for how God has used that in some significant way. So this is a family tradition for us, and maybe you might want to think about adopting it as well. But the point is, Thanksgiving has to be something that we become very conversant with, that becomes part of our prayer life. I think that prayer without thanksgiving, as has been well said, is like a bird without wings. I'll talk about that a little more in, I think, the third segment of this broadcast, if we have a chance to get to that. But thanksgiving, and of course, I alluded to this, but certainly supplication is a big part of my prayer life, because I am a needy person, and God is the one who can supply all my needs, and so I bow before my Lord and God, and I ask Him to meet every need through His riches in glory. And again, this year, as I have been diagnosed with mantle cell lymphoma, I have realized just how fantastic it is to see suffering producing perseverance. Whenever you go through difficult times, you see life from an eternal perspective, and you then start to see life in a far different way. And of course, we're going to talk about that in the next segment. We're going to travel all the way back to 1863 and Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving Proclamation. Whenever I hear that proclamation, in whole or in part, I find it sometimes hard to imagine that a current president would do what he did. And while I'm not going to give away what Abraham Lincoln did in his call to prayer, his Thanksgiving Proclamation, but I'll simply say for now that this was given in the midst of the calamity of civil war. And Lincoln was very aware that the nation had forgotten God, that they had become too self-sufficient, too proud to pray to the God that made us. And it was that idea that caused him to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of Thanksgiving. We need to remember our thanks corporately as a nation as well. All of that coming up in the next segment of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I know you'll enjoy it. And then the final segment today, highlight Thanksgiving. And what I do in doing that is I'm pointing out that Thanksgiving is something by which we can experience the grace of God. How many times God answers prayers directly, specifically, and yet how few times we thank Him. Well, again, Thanksgiving is represented in many different ways throughout our lives, even when we partake of the Lord's table. That's a Thanksgiving meal. That's what Eucharist actually means. It means Thanksgiving meal, so another way in which we give thanks. We're coming to a station break, so I can't elaborate any further on this, but I will elaborate further as we go through the broadcast today. You don't want to miss it. Thanksgiving, a day in which we bow before the Lord our God. It is through the bounty of His love and hand that all the riches of glory are afforded to us in this life and in the life to come. We will be right back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And again, thanks for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Darwin, Freud, Sanger, Rousseau, and Marx. These are just a few of the infamous individuals who wrote books with ideas that have screwed up the world we live in. Ideas have consequences. Being a persuasive Christian witness involves familiarity with the ideas of secularist, materialist, and atheist. And Dr. Benjamin Weicker has read the worst books in Christian civilization, so you don't have to. This month we are offering 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help by Benjamin Weicker. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. If you've ever heard of a great books collection, well, here are their evil opposites. Marx, Lenin, and Hitler are just a few of the authors whose writings have bled into the history books with their bloody conquests backed by disastrous ideas. But history is written every day, and these ideas are still influencing the world in which we live. As Christians, being familiar with these ideas will allow us to better counter them with the call of Christ. That's why Dr. Benjamin Weicker wrote 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help. To receive your copy of 10 books that screwed up the world as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, an ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. And also don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook. And now here is Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and you have tuned in to a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. It is the Thanksgiving edition. We are giving thanks not only for all that the Lord has accomplished through this ministry, but for the very fact that we have life and breath. We have the unfolding of this day to enjoy with family and friends, and to become the object of thanksgiving by giving ourselves, our time, our talent, our treasure for the glory of God and for the extension of His kingdom. I want to mention before we continue that CRI's work of equipping and encouraging fellow believers to stand for life and truth simply could not continue without the faithful support of listeners like you. And every single day, I give thanks for those who are standing with me shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Support team members undergird, they strengthen every one of CRI's 24/7 outreaches. Outreaches that equip fellow believers not only at home, but around the globe. We need to add support team members by the end of the month, and to become a member of CRI's support team to help change our world. All you need do is go to equip.org or call 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Again, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. When you join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to send out a personalized copy of any one of my books to you, a family member, or a friend. A good idea for a Christmas gift this year as well. Again, check it out on the web at equip.org. Paul Harvey was always one of my radio heroes. I remember listening to him when I was very young. He was a legend in radio. And he told a story that I think is very apropos this Thanksgiving Day. It is gratitude, said Paul Harvey. Gratitude that prompted an old man to visit an old broken pier on the eastern seacoast of Florida. Every Friday night, until his death in 1973, he would return, walking slowly and slightly stooped with a very large bucket of shrimp. The seagulls would flock to this old man, and he would feed them from his bucket. Many years before, it was October 1942, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was on a mission in a B-17 to deliver an important message to General Douglas MacArthur. MacArthur was in New Guinea. And there was an unexpected detour, a detour which would hurl Captain Eddie into the most harrowing adventure of his life. Somewhere over the South Pacific, the Flying Fortress became lost. It was beyond the reach of radio. fuel ran dangerously low. And so the men ditched their plane in the ocean, and for nearly a month, Captain Eddie and his companions would fight the water. They'd fight the weather, the scorching sun. They spent many sleepless nights recoiling as giant sharks rammed their rafts. The largest raft was 9 by 5. The biggest shark? 10 feet long. But of all their enemies at sea, one proved most formidable. It was starvation. 8 days out, their rations were long gone or destroyed by the salt water. It would take a miracle to sustain them, and the miracle occurred. In Captain Eddie's own words, Cherry, that was the B-17 pilot, Captain William Cherry, read the service that afternoon, and we finished with a prayer for deliverance and a hymn of praise. There was some talk, but it tapered off in the oppressive heat. With my hat pulled down over my eyes to keep out some of the glare, I dozed off. Now this is still Captain Rickenbacker talking. Something landed on my head. I knew that it was a seagull. I don't know how I knew. I just knew. And everyone else knew too. No one said a word. But peering out from under my hat brim without moving my head, I could see an expression on their faces. They were staring at that gull. The gull meant food. If I could only catch it. And the rest, as they say, is history. Captain Eddie caught the gull. Its flesh was eaten. Its intestines were used for bait to catch fish. The survivors were sustained and their hopes renewed because a lone seagull, uncharacteristically hundreds of miles from land, offered itself as a sacrifice. You know that Captain Eddie made it. And now you also know that he never forgot. Because every Friday evening, about sunset, on a lonely stretch along the eastern Florida seacoast, you could see an old man walking, white-haired, bushy-eyebrowed, slightly bent, his bucket filled with shrimp to feed the gulls, to remember that one gull which, on a day long past, gave itself without a struggle, like manna in the wilderness. And as Paul Harvey would say, and now, you know the rest of the story. That story is a great, great example of a man who not only received manna at just the right time, but a story that ought to remind us that as he never forgot, and even at a very old age continued to remember, we too ought to be ever more mindful of the blessings that our Heavenly Father bestows upon us. And we ought not to be like those who simply hoard the blessings for ourselves, because in the Christian context, there is a divine reality. And that is that in giving, we receive. It is not as though We give and we lose. No, we give and receive because the Lord in his manifest economy continues to multiply the loaves and the fishes. Today is a day that we often take for granted. We're with family, we're with friends, some of you are alone. But all too often we take this day for granted. We think about the turkey. We think about perhaps the relationships. And we forget the one who has made all of that possible. The one who gave himself as a sacrifice. The sacrifice of a lone gull pales by comparison to the sacrifice of our Lord. He was willing to sacrifice his life so that we might experience life in the Trinity. Consider that. We have been brought in by the sacrifice of Christ into the very thing that we were created to enjoy, and that is fellowship with God. There is no greater thing that we can be thankful for. So this Thanksgiving Day, as you listen into the broadcast and as you enjoy yourself, enjoy the greatest gift of all. Enjoy the very reality that one day you will be with him. You will be with those who love him, and you will learn and grow and develop without error as forever. You not only thank him for his goodness and grace, but experience him. And that experience is not relegated to the afterlife. It is something that we can enjoy in the present life as well. Well, we're coming all too precariously close to a station break, so we'll leave it at that. But when I come back from the station break, I have a quote of the day that I think will rock your world. It's a quote that comes from Abraham Lincoln. And when you hear this quote, this Thanksgiving quote, you will start to recognize how far we have fallen as a nation and how much there is to regain. And perhaps this Thanksgiving you will pray, O Lord, sustain us for yet a little while, so that we can reach the masses around the world who desperately need you, the manna, the bread of life. Remember the resources that we talk about right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. You can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write us, our address, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our wonderful resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Enjoy the day with your family, with friends. Give thanksgiving to God. And stay tuned as we come back with the quote of the day, a quote that I think will live on in your memory for years to come. We'll be right back.
If you've ever heard of a great books collection, well, here are their evil opposites. Marx, Lenin, and Hitler are just a few of the authors whose writings have bled into the history books with their bloody conquests backed by disastrous ideas. But history is written every day, and these ideas are still influencing the world in which we live. As Christians, being familiar with these ideas and their influence in our world will allow us to better counter them with the call of Christ. That's why Dr. Benjamin Weicker wrote 10 books that screwed up the world, and 5 others that didn't help. To receive your copy of 10 books that screwed up the world as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. Darwin, Freud, Sanger, Rousseau, and Marx. These are just a few of the infamous individuals who wrote books with ideas that have screwed up the world we live in. Ideas have consequences. Being a persuasive Christian witness involves familiarity with the ideas of secularist, materialist, and atheist. And Dr. Benjamin Weicker has read the worst books in Christian civilization, so you don't have to. This month, we are offering 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help by Benjamin Weicker. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Ideas do have consequences, and bad ideas have cost untold millions of lives. Benjamin Weicker brilliantly and wittily distilled some of history's most dangerous and damaging thinking in 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help. To receive your copy of 10 Books That Screwed Up the World as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And you've tuned into a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As we give thanks to God this Thanksgiving, as we enter His gates with thanksgiving, as we enter His courts with praise, as we give thanks to Him, as we praise His name. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He indeed is good, and His love endures forever. The quote of the day, it's an incredible quote. And it comes from Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving Proclamation, a proclamation that took place in 1863. Abraham Lincoln on that day said, "It is the duty of nations as well as the duty of men, to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, to confess their sins and their transgressions in humble sorrow, and yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history, that those nations are blessed whose God is the Lord. We know that by His divine law, nations like individuals are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world. May we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace, in prosperity. We have grown in numbers, in wealth, in power, as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace, which multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace. Too proud to pray to the God that made us. It has seemed to me fit and proper that God should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged, as with one heart and one voice, by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November as a day of thanksgiving, as a day of praise for our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Again, this was the proclamation of Abraham Lincoln's Thanksgiving back in 1863, a proclamation by which a tradition has continued on to the present, a tradition of thanksgiving. And oh, how our nation has forgotten the Lord, has forgotten the genesis of thanksgiving. We are now in an Advent season. In an Advent season, Advent literally meaning coming, an Advent season in which the Christian church celebrates the coming in flesh of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and there is no greater thing that we may be thankful for. Sometimes the things that are most significant are most lost or forgotten at Thanksgiving. We pay Jesus a little lip service. But the glory of Advent has a genesis throughout the Scriptures, a genesis by which we recognize a grand mosaic of life and living. Ultimately, what are we thankful for? Well, we're thankful for the best of all worlds to come, made possible by the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So here is a passage that I find to be particularly significant on Thanksgiving. It sets the tone for the year as it rolls to a completion. It comes from Matthew, the first chapter. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. But he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because that son, Jesus, will save his people from their sins." And all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. So when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. The beauty of the gospel is that Abraham, the father of many nations, was promised a royal seed, and that royal seed is Jesus Christ. However, as the Apostle Paul explains, all who are clothed in Christ constitute one congruent, chosen, covenant, community, so beautifully connected by the cross. What all of that means is that if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and you are an heir according to the promise. The mystery is this, explains the Apostle Paul, that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Jesus Christ. That is the glory of Advent. And as we move towards the celebration of Christ's coming, that celebration taking place December 25th, we are not in any way concluding that that was the day that Jesus Christ was born, but we are using this day as a rival celebration to paganism. Paganism has once again invaded the land, and our celebrations are trite and trivial. They forget the main and the plain thing, that main and plain thing being Jesus Christ. So today at Thanksgiving, we celebrate Jesus Christ. And as we think about his coming, let us prepare our hearts So this will not just be another year, but this will be a year characterized by Thanksgiving. None of us knows exactly how much time we have. I buried a son-in-law. He was 47 years of age. My dad, he died when he was 74. My mother, however, she's 91, continues on in this world, but all our days are numbered. We cannot take for granted any one of them. So why not this year settle disputes with family members that are estranged? Give to others as we have been given, and not pass through the season of Thanksgiving in harried fashion, but in contemplative fashion, because of the one to whom all thanksgiving is due. Well, this has been a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I thought I'd come into the studio and just reminisce about those things that I'm giving thanks for, and for those things that you as well can give thanks for this Thanksgiving season. And do remember, once again, there's no need to be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, just present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're out of time for this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The resources that I've talked about during the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org, or you can simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. And as I close, let me say that I'm thankful for you, those who stand with us, shoulder to shoulder, in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. If you've ever heard of a great books collection, well, here are their evil opposites. Marx, Lenin, and Hitler are just a few of the authors whose writings have bled into the history books with their bloody conquests backed by disastrous ideas. But history is written every day, and these ideas are still influencing the world in which we live. As Christians, being familiar with these ideas will allow us to better counter them with the call of Christ. That's why Dr. Benjamin Weicker wrote 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help. To receive your copy of 10 books that screwed up the world as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.